Okay, thanks everyone for staying, for singing. That was enjoyable. And maybe just before we speak, we will ask the Lord to give us help and ask for his blessing. Let's pray. Our Father, we come in the Lord Jesus' name into thy presence again in prayer. We thank thee for a throne of grace to which we have access without fear. We can come with confidence, not in ourselves, but in him. We know that the work that he has done has value that will stand forever. And we know that his presence there at thy right hand in heaven is our absolute guarantee that we will always be accepted with thyself. And so for him and for all that he's done, we do sincerely give thanks. Thank thee for a good day spent with thy people, for the warmth and the positive reinforcement we get from Christian fellowship. And now for this last opportunity of the day to open thy word briefly, we give thee thanks and we ask for help. We ask thee to apply thy truth through thy spirit to each one of our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, I'm going to be very brief tonight. I was young once, and I remember sings, and I remember people that spoke way too long at the end of a sing. And so I'll try not to be one of those people. But I want to talk to you for maybe 10 or at most 15 minutes tonight on how do you make decisions in life in areas where the Bible doesn't seem to give absolute direction. So there's things where the Bible clearly tells us, thou shalt or thou shalt not. Things that we know are right or they're wrong. But really, if you're honest, those areas are fairly few. And the vast majority of activities that we engage in life and directions that we take and choices that we face and decisions that we have to make, the Bible doesn't necessarily say, this is the right way and this is the wrong way. And you may look around you and you'll see that people have different opinions when it comes to certain practices and certain activities and certain entertainment and certain assembly practice and certain choices. And I would just like to ask you, how do you decide? How do you make choices in life that are going to be beneficial and that are going to guide you aright to please the Lord and to honor him? So I'm going to read two passages, and then I'm going to focus on one, the last one. The first one is found, is pretty familiar, was read already today by Mr. Booth, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, so that verse in pretty plain English, it says that by testing through the renewal of your mind, you will be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 gives a similar concept. It says, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Okay, so the same basic concept, that you're intended to exercise discernment, and through using discernment carefully, you will generate a habit of being able to, trained by constant practice, to distinguish good from evil. But now the passage I want to focus on, and I was first sort of taken up with this passage when I was asked to speak with Peter Ramsey down in Tampa at the beginning of January at a little youth conference. And so I think there's one or two here that might have been there. You'll know that I mentioned this framework there. Philippians chapter 1. Paul writes this to the Christians in Philippi. He says in verse 9 of chapter 1, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Now this is the sentence I want you to pay attention to. In knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Paul uses a number of words in that sentence. I want you to focus first of all in the central part of that little section that we read, the challenge that Paul gives. His desire for these Christians was that they would approve what is excellent. The first thing I'd like you to focus on is, what is your aim? So when it comes to these sorts of things, When things are happening and you're not sure, some people seem to be for them, some people seem to be against them. You're not really sure what you should do. You're facing decisions, choices, education, location, relationships. What's your aim? What's your standard? What's the goal? What's the criteria that you use? And I'd like to challenge you. This verse says that Paul's desire was, and the Spirit of God's desire is, that these people would approve what is excellent. Do you aim for excellence when it comes to choices about your spiritual activities? Or do you aim for mediocrity? Is the standard what's wrong with it? Or is the standard, is it excellent? Is the standard there's worse things we could be doing? Or is the standard excellence? It's the best thing we could be doing. Paul says that you should aim for excellence. That when it comes to matters of discernment, you should set the bar high to aim to do the very best that you can do for the purposes of God to be fulfilled in your life. Now, if you look at what comes after that statement, you have the result of those types of choices. Because Paul says that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The day of Christ is an expression that refers to the coming of the Lord Jesus, the judgment seat of Christ, and the heavenward aspect of what takes place. After the Lord comes in the rapture, he takes us home. The day of the Lord launches, and on earth there will be a series of judgments, seals broken, trumpets sounding, bowls poured out, the wrath of God on earth. But we will be in heaven, and the day of Christ is referring to what is happening from that perspective after the Lord comes to take us home. And so with the day of Christ in view, Paul says that this aiming for what is excellent is going to result with the fruit of righteousness to the glory of God to be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So really what I'd like to focus with you on for just a few minutes before I stop is, how do you make these choices to aim for what is excellent? There's three words that Paul uses in this section. He says, by knowledge and all discernment, you may approve what is excellent. I just want you to think with me of those three words. Because I would love to put into your minds the idea that you should not be content to just go with the flow. Certainly not with the flow of unbelievers in the world around us. And if I could kindly say, not necessarily with the flow of believers in your circle of contacts. So how do you decide? Well, knowledge is basically the accumulation of facts, of information. It's knowing, and I think in the context, it's knowing what the Bible says. So your decision should first of all be based on knowledge. What does the Bible say relative to this particular situation that you're dealing with? So if the Bible doesn't have a direct commandment, it certainly has principles. And if we had time tonight, we could take up some specific examples, and I would try to show you from the Bible certain principles that likely apply to help you to make a decision in a particular area. So the first question you should ask is, what knowledge can I gain as to what the Bible teaches relative to this subject? And if it's something new, something different, it might not necessarily be bad because it's new. It might not necessarily be good because it's old. But what does the Bible say? Brother Bill reminded us of that in his teaching today. What does the Bible say relative to this subject? So gain the knowledge. But Paul goes on to say, not only with knowledge, but then he uses a word. He says, knowledge with all discernment. Discernment, or wisdom, goes beyond simply knowledge. So it's not just the facts or the information of what the Bible says. It's actually using discernment to apply that information. So, for example, if you went to the New Testament and you looked, and there's some new initiative you're looking at, you start looking through the New Testament, you say, what did the New Testament believers do? How did they practice? What type of outreach did they do? What type of assembly activities did they seem to engage in? And you look at those and you say, well, there were differences then, and maybe you see some slight differences from Acts chapter 2 until Acts chapter 10, and you see some things in the epistles. Knowledge is the gathering of that information. Discernment is the application of that information to your particular circumstance. This is a framework for making decisions, and I would suggest it's critical to recognize and formulate a framework while you're young so you'll know how to make these decisions. Knowledge with all discernment. So that's the basis that you're going to work from. But then here's the challenge. The third word, that you may approve what is excellent. And that word approve has the idea of an analysis. It has the idea of a careful, if you're into science, it's, you know, after you look at all the evidence and you start to analyze it and you work your way towards a conclusion. Or if you're in business or accounting, it's a careful analysis that draws together until it produces, under careful scrutiny, a decision. Very similar words, not the same word, but it's a similar word, for example, that's used of Abraham. When God says to Abraham, take your son and offer him up. It says that Abraham, Hebrews chapter 11, it says that Abraham offered up his son by faith. And here's the word, accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead. Now, I don't particularly just like that word accounting because I'm an accountant, although I do like it because it's a very biblical profession. Abraham was an accountant. But the word accounting literally is what Paul is saying here, approving what is excellent. The idea is that Abraham measured up. Here's what God's saying. On the surface, it doesn't seem to make sense. Because God's telling me to offer up my son. I want to obey God. But God has told me that in Isaac, my seed will be called. And my seed will be like the sand of the sea. So Abraham did not just take a leap of blind faith, as people call it. Abraham did not just walk forward whistling Dixie without thinking about what he was doing. Hebrews chapter 11 would tell us, Abraham reckoned it. Abraham analyzed it. And Abraham came to a conclusion. He accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead. And what took Abraham up that mountain in Moriah was his confidence in a God to do something Abraham had never seen before. That God would be able to raise his son from the dead. That is the strength of the concept here. Approve what is excellent. So you gather the knowledge. You seek discernment from the Lord to apply that knowledge in a relevant way to the circumstance you're facing. And then carefully, cautiously, prayerfully, you seek to come to a conclusion that is going to set the bar high in terms of achieving excellence in your path for God. You don't need me to stand up here and give you a whole list of do's and don'ts. You don't need me to give you my interpretation that this is okay and this is okay and that's not okay and that's not okay. And it's not my purpose tonight. I'm happy one-on-one to go through any individual issue with any of you and talk to you about how I've struggled with them and some I still struggle with. My purpose tonight is more to just encourage you to be cautious. Encourage you to be careful. Encourage you to embrace this notion that life is not just a series of harmless experiences. That we just take the path of least resistance, do what everybody's doing, if it feels good, if it seems to work, if it produces good results, if everybody thinks it's okay, then we just blindly press on. And whether that's to do with something which is traditional or something which is novel, the principle actually applies equally. That we should embrace this concept that Paul gave these first century Christians, that with knowledge and all discernment, we will seek to approve what is excellent. And so we will be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to to the glory and praise of God. So take that away. Philippians 1, verses 9 to 11. Chew it over on your own and maybe just ask the Lord to help you to see a few circumstances just now where you are in your assembly, in your life, in your circumstances, that he could maybe help you to put this into practice, to start jotting down what are the relevant Bible passages that apply. How can I wisely interrelate these, to bring them to this circumstance? How can I then come to a conclusion that is going to honor God and aim for excellence for his glory? So I leave that with you for your encouragement, and I pray that it'll be a help. And let's now just close in prayer. Am I supposed to give thanks for any refreshments, or are there any refreshments? There are refreshments. So I was going to be like Abraham and give thanks in faith, but I had no faith in Kelly. So, sorry? Hinckley's donut holes. And if we give thanks and sanctify them, they lose all their calories and saturated fats. All right, let's close in prayer and give thanks. Father, we come again to thank thee for the Lord Jesus and for thy word. We thank thee, Father, for one who had all knowledge and perfect discernment. One who, as a man on earth, handled every situation exactly as he should. We realize, Father, that he was infallible, and we are so well aware that we're not. But we thank thee that we have not been left to our own resources, that there is a rich, living word that has come from thyself, that it is full of truth, which is relevant. And we thank thee that we have a Spirit of God within us, thy Spirit, that shines on the page of the Bible, and if we allow him to do his work, will illuminate our minds and hearts so that we can spiritually discern the path that thou wouldst have us to take. We pray for every believer that's here tonight, young and those not so young. Each of us needs thy blessing, and so we ask that according to thy knowledge of each of our individual circumstances, that thou wouldst lead us and guide us for the glory of Christ. We thank thee for the Christians here in the assembly at Jackson, for their kindness, and for the food once again provided for us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.